I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to Module 8.
I want to go over some questions now that I received about astral projection. Out of the thousands of questions that I receive, I've selected a few questions which I feel fit into two categories. The first category would be questions that everyone asks. When I see a question coming from a variety of people, I know it's something that needs to be answered because it's a common question. The other category of questions that I'm going to answer are questions that are not very common, questions that I consider to be very thought-provoking, questions by people who have been astral projecting for a while and have come across a very unusual situation or had a thought about something related to astral projection, which I feel is very interesting and fascinating, and it's going to give you tremendous insight into what you can do in the astral world. So with these two categories of questions, I'm going to now begin going through them. Is it possible to create a non-created dangerous space in the astral world? Now that's an interesting question. In fact, I had to write back to the person to get clarification on exactly what they meant. And what they meant was create a gap or a glitch in the astral world. And more specifically, what they meant was, let's say, for example, that you're creating your astral world. You're using the information you have on astral creation, and you're creating things in your astral world. But then you extend that further beyond just creating your astral home, and you create an astral neighborhood, and you create an astral city, and so forth, and you keep expanding outward. Some people really enjoy the creation process. Now realize that just as in the physical world, there's real estate that's already been claimed, you may be building something in someone else's area. For example, if your neighbor is also astral projecting and you've decided to build a structure where their three-dimensional house is, you've decided to build a four-dimensional structure, realize that you've astrally encroached on their astral area and you should be respectful of that. So if they come to you in the astral world and say, could you eliminate that astral structure so that I can recreate my house as an astral structure, you should be very mindful of that. But some people take the concept of astral creation and they create quite a bit. And so this question has to do with creating an astral world, but forgetting to create part of it. So let's say, for example, that you have a large space to create in somewhere, and there are no other astral structures around. So you just keep creating and creating and creating, building astral structures, and you move within that astral structure. Let's say you've created it in the astral world to be the equivalent of the size of a football field in the three-dimensional world. And you've created for yourself, essentially, an astral city. But there's certain parts of that creation that you neglected. Perhaps there's a closet somewhere, or an entire room somewhere that you've overlooked. It's a gap or a glitch in your astral creation. And let's say, for example, you were to go into that room and discover the nothingness in that room because you haven't created anything in there. This person who asked this question was concerned that in that nothingness, in that part that got overlooked in the creation because it was a detail that they didn't think of, they are concerned that there will be something negative about that part, that it will be a negative space somehow, that it will pose some sort of danger. Well, I want to put you at ease. It will not pose any sort of danger. It will not be a glitch. It will not be any sort of negative space whatsoever. What will exist in that space will simply be what was already in the astral world, which will possibly be some sort of astral structure or will possibly be just an open space. But it's not as if the space will pose any sort of danger or will cause you to go into an alternate dimension if you go into it or anything along those lines. It will just be an empty space. And this segues nicely into their next question, which is, what about the edges of astral creation? In other words, let's take our example again of creating something the size of a football field, the equivalent of the size of a football field in the fourth dimension. Well, at some point, the creator of that space stopped creating. There are boundaries to that. That's what this person, by the way, the same person, is asking. What about the edges of creation? I've created something the size of a football field. What if I go outside of it? What about the edges of it, the perimeter of it? Well, again, as with my answer to the negative space or the glitch type question, nothing's going to happen. The astral world simply continues to exist beyond that. You've created something, and beyond it, the astral world exists. Just like a house. Let's say you built a house in a field, and you're living in that house. If you go outside of the house, you don't cease to exist or go into nothingness. You go into the field, just as in the astral world. whatever you've created is fine, and then you go outside of it, and that's fine too, because the astral world still exists. And there's nothing that happens when you're passing that barrier. Let's say you're back in your three-dimensional house again, you go outside the door. There's nothing that happens as you go outside. Perhaps the temperature is different in the three-dimensional world, but you won't even notice that in the astral world. As you leave your astral structure, nothing is going to change. There's nothing that happens with the edges. Here's another question from another person who says, how can I be sure not to limit myself when creating astrally? Very good question. Because don't we actually just take our ideas from the three-dimensional world? For example, if I want to create my four-dimensional house, I could potentially be limited to thinking that I can only have a certain size living room, that I can only have a certain amount of objects, that the couch has to be on the floor as opposed to hovering in space. So we can limit ourselves if we take our three-dimensional thinking into the fourth dimension. In the fourth dimension, as I create my four-dimensional house, I should keep in mind that the couch can be hovering in space because there is no gravity. I should keep in mind that it can be as lavishly decorated as I want because there is no budget. The particles that I'm assembling in the astral world do not cost anything. And by the way, when you assemble in the fourth dimension, you're not taking particles from another structure. In other words, when you imagine the starburst and everything coming together to form your objects that you're imagining, it's not as if those are coming from your neighbor's astral house or from existing astral structures in the astral world. You're simply taking particles in the astral world that are not otherwise part of a structure. They are particles in the astral environment that are not otherwise serving a purpose. But that's a great question. How can I be sure not to limit myself when creating astrally? One of the best ways to do this is by looking at other astral structures and seeing what they have done. You will find houses that are floating. If you get invited to an astral house, you will find objects that are floating because they're not required to obey the laws of gravity. Some people like to invert their houses, make them upside down. That's fine. I personally have created my astral house to be an exact replication of my physical house because, for me, it makes things easier. It makes things make more sense. I don't have to concern myself with where the exits are or where the couch is, etc. But the idea of not limiting yourself in astral creation is similar to the idea of not limiting yourself in regular creation. If you want to build a house, it's best to look through magazines. Look at famous architects and what they have done. Look at other people's houses. Get ideas. Great question. Moving on, how can I tell the difference between this world and the astral world? Meaning the three-dimensional world and the four-dimensional world. That's a great question also. Because if you think about it, you can ideally create an astral world that is so similar to your physical world, at least in your immediate environment in your house, that it exactly resembles your physical world. So then the question becomes, how do I know when I'm astral projecting and when I'm not? But I want you to realize that it's never going to be a challenge. There's never going to be a question of whether you're astral projecting or not. Now, when you find yourself astral projecting in a dream, that can be a question because you're in a dream. You don't have the conscious faculties available to you to discern logically what's going on. And sometimes you may find yourself in a dream astral projecting. That's possible. That's why in this program I teach you to take direct control, to consciously astral project, so that you're not in a dream. You're actually fully in control of everything that's going on. But your soul is designed to astral project on a regular basis. Most people astral project every night, either consciously or unconsciously. So from time to time you may find yourself astral projecting in a dream. At that point, it can be difficult to tell whether or not it's a dream or reality, just as with any other dream. However, when you're in your three-dimensional body, you're going to know it. You're always going to know that you're in your three-dimensional body. There's never going to be a question of whether or not you're in your astral body. The way that you're going to know this is that everything's going to be solid. Walls are going to be solid, floors are going to be solid. If you walk outside of your house, everything's going to be solid, the ground's going to be solid. Even things that you didn't astrally create will be solid. That's how you're going to know that you're in your three-dimensional body. Also, things look different. There's a distinct difference, no matter how much you create, in the way the astral world looks and the way the physical world looks. In the physical world, you don't have the ability to zoom in on objects in very minute detail just using your naked eye. In the astral world, you do, with your astral vision. In the astral world, you're able to walk through objects which are only shadows of objects from the three-dimensional world. So whereas you won't be walking through objects that you create in the astral world as astral objects, You will, in the astral world, be able to walk through the three-dimensional representations of those objects. For example, perhaps your neighbor has not created an astral house, and while in your astral body, you can walk through the three-dimensional representation of his or her house. Of course, you wouldn't do that because that violates their privacy. You could walk through any object that only exists in the three-dimensional world. So these are the ways that you tell the difference between whether you're in the astral world or not. The only exception would be, of course, when you're dreaming. When in dreams, we very often lack the ability to tell whether it's reality or not. It's only after we wake up that we realize, oh, it was just a dream. But the reverse will never happen. You'll never find yourself in the three-dimensional world wondering if it's a dream or not. You will always know that you're in the three-dimensional world because there is a very distinct difference in the way that you will feel. In addition to the way objects will appear, which I just explained, your body will feel differently as well. In the astral world, your body feels like energy, pure energy. In the physical world, your body will not feel that way. Your body will feel like your body. You may feel energized or caffeinated or excited, but it will not be a feeling of pure energy as in the astral world. In the astral world, when you're in your astral body, your body feels like pure energy, energy surging through you. This is the kundalini energy that powers your astral body. So there are very distinct differences between the two worlds. If you are ever in doubt, just act as though you're in the three-dimensional world. Also, it's important to point out that you should create in your astral world objects which are not like the physical world, so that you can easily tell the difference between the two. For example, putting an object in the middle of your living room in the fourth dimension is a great idea, something that you don't have in the third dimension. For example, putting a palm tree in your astral living room is a great idea, as long as you don't have one in your three-dimensional living room, which you probably don't. So putting something in the fourth dimension that doesn't exist in the third dimension is a great idea. This will immediately clue you in as to where you are. But really, the feeling that you have in your body and the way the astral world looks are so completely different than your three-dimensional existence that you will easily be able to distinguish the two. I want to stay in my created astral reality. If I leave and go back into my physical body, will it continue to exist? Yes, it will. Now, staying in your created astral reality is not an option. You must go back to your physical body. Your physical body requires you to be in it. You can get away for brief trips into the astral world, but you must go back to your physical body. So, you can visit the astral world, and it will remain the way you created it. Your astral body, after you shapeshift it, will stay in that shape as long as you tell it to. And you don't need to constantly focus on it. You just need to shapeshift it and tell it to stay in that shape, and it will. Or you can temporarily shapeshift, of course, to get through difficult spaces in the astral world, in which case you immediately shift back to the appearance that you want your astral body to have. But any astral furniture that you create, anything that you create in your astral reality, will stay there until you change it. And if you want to, for example, eliminate an astral couch, the way you do that is not by taking it outside of your astral house and leaving it on the curb, but rather by disintegrating the particles. So there are particles that make up that astral couch, and just as you assimilated them, you disintegrate them. You imagine them going back to where they came from, the various parts of the astral worlds from which you gathered them. But as long as you don't do that, they will continue to exist, and they will continue to exist exactly where you left them. Next question. Can I modify the Superman-Wonder Woman technique with different body positions? Absolutely. Remember in the Superman-Wonder Woman technique, you are hovering in your astral body, stretched out. You are flying horizontally. You can fly in any position you want. You can fly, as I mentioned, curled up in a ball or seated. You can fly backwards if you want. You can fly in a spinning fashion. You can modify it any way you want, any way that makes you feel comfortable. Or if you want to make it exciting, then any way that is exciting to you, such as rolling in a ball, rolling forward. Next question. Can I astrally project myself out of pain? Great question. When we have physical pain and we want to block it, first of all, it's important to realize that the physical pain is there for a reason, so you should always consult with a physician when you have physical pain. But after we have consulted with the physician, if the physical pain still remains, there can be a strong desire on our part to get rid of it, to eliminate that pain. Astral projection can offer temporary relief for that physical pain, because while you have your conscious mind separated from your physical body, there is the absence. In other words, while you're astral projecting. While you're astral projecting, your astral body and your mind are no longer aware of the physical sensations in your body, so your body continues to function as it normally would. The only exceptions would be something extreme, such as someone shaking your physical body or a loud noise in the room that your physical body picks up on and relays a signal to you, to your astral body. But if you choose to, and this comes with practice, you can block all of that. You can block out sound. You can block out physical sensations, etc., just as you can tune into them if you want to. The way to block them out comes with practice, of course. But generally speaking, we're not aware of them anyway. If we have physical sensations in our body, such as pain, and we are in our astral body, generally we are not aware of those physical sensations anyway. But if they are severe, then this is going to require some practice. If they are severe physical sensations, meaning very powerful, very strong, sending strong signals and consistent signals to your physical brain, that information may be relayed to your astral body just out of concern. Your physical body is concerned that something needs to be addressed, so it notifies your astral body and essentially says, there's something going on here that you should be aware of. Well, if you don't need that information, meaning if you already know about that pain and you're not going to be able to address it anyway, it's nice to be able to block it out. Realize that this information is traveling to you through your silver cord, the cord that connects the umbilicus of your astral body to the umbilicus of your physical body. In other words, the belly button of your physical body to the belly button of your astral body. Everyone who is alive has a silver cord. The silver cord relays information about pain, about noise, etc., coming from the physical body. It also relays information about our experiences back to our physical brains. So think of this as sort of a cable internet connection, or DSL internet connection. Information is being relayed back and forth constantly. Since it is, you have the ability to place certain filters on it. So if you're having pain, even while you're in your astral body, I suggest that you install a filter. And the way you install a filter is just by focusing on there being a filter in your silver cord. And you're going to program this filter to specifically block the type of pain that you've been having. It's important not to block all pain, because sometimes your physical body may have a different type of pain which it needs to alert you about. But let's say, for example, you have an ongoing pain in your left leg. You're well aware of that. You've already talked to your doctor about it. You'd rather not know about it all the time. In your astral body, you'd rather be free from this pain. You simply focus on there being a filter in the silver cord that blocks the pain from your left leg. It's as easy as that. And then there is a filter there. You may need to adjust it. You may need to make it stronger. You do this by focusing on it, focusing on that filter being stronger, blocking that information along the silver cord. All other information is allowed to travel back and forth through the silver cord except that information. Next question, what if I just sit back and let the universe direct me somewhere rather than controlling my astral journey myself? Is this better than planning my astral journeys? Well, you have the ability to do that. You have the ability, as I talked about in the feather technique, where you're floating as a feather, to just let the universe direct you wherever it wants to. Remember the metaphor I used of floating on a raft in a pool and letting the wind and the pool jets blow you around to different parts of the pool. You can do that. If you want to have an astral journey that just consists of you floating around, that's fine. In fact, people who don't know how to astral project, who astral project unconsciously while they're dreaming, for example, are doing this anyway. Usually they're going to familiar places. But sometimes they're just floating around wherever the universe will take them. Remember that there's no astral wind or astral current. You are floating around based on where your thoughts are taking you. So if you clear your mind completely and have no thoughts, you're not going to go anywhere because there's no wind, if you will. There's no wind of your thoughts to take you to different places. The reason you're not going to go anywhere is because there's no wind of your thoughts, if you will. There are no thoughts to take you anywhere, so it's important to have some thoughts so that you do drift somewhere. But you can let your thoughts come to you randomly, and you will randomly float around the universe, and that's fine. Now, the second part of the question they ask is this better than planning my astral journeys? It can be, depending on what you're up for. If you want just a random astral experience, that's fine. Just let your random thoughts take you where they want to take you. And if you end up somewhere you don't want to be or somewhere you shouldn't be, then change your thoughts, and you will immediately change your location. So this can be fun. In fact, I do this sometimes myself. I just let my thoughts take me where they want to take me. I wouldn't say that it's better than planning, but it is different, and it can add a unique flavor to the experience. Next question, how will time pass as I am in the astral world? Well, there is no time in the astral world. So if you had such a thing as an astral clock, it probably wouldn't tick at all, because time is a three-dimensional concept. And time, when you think about it, is just us tracking objects moving around other objects. The Earth revolves as it moves around the sun. We consider that to be time. And all of that together, we get days, and we get years, and we get months, and so forth. But when you think about it, this is just objects moving around other objects. This thing that we call time is just something that we created to psychologically allow us to have some sort of feel of control over our universe. And it allows us to work within the laws of physics. Time is a very important part of physics. Without the constructed concept of time, certain formulas simply wouldn't work. So we've created time to serve as something that gives us psychological certainty and to work within the math that we've created. But time in and of itself doesn't actually exist, even in the three-dimensional world. It's just the motion of objects as they interact with other objects. As the hands in your watch move, you consider that to be time, but it's not. It's just the hands of your watch moving. There are also atomic clocks, which track atomic motion. We consider this to be time also, but it's really not. It's simply motion. If that motion were to speed up or slow down, how would we know? Because we consider that to be time. We're looking at that, the frequency of the motion of the atomic particles, to tell us what time is, to tell us the frequency of time. If those particles sped up, would time speed up? If those particles slowed down, would time slow down? No, because time doesn't exist. There would simply be a speeding up or a slowing down. And when you think about it further, speeding up or slowing down are based on time. So the whole concept really collapses in on itself. Time is dependent on the movement of objects, the movement of objects over time. So the definition of time is dependent on itself. So the whole concept of time is completely illogical. In the astral world, not only is it illogical, but it's completely non-existent. So, getting back to our question, how will time pass as I am in the astral world? Well, time will not pass because it doesn't exist. However, time will continue to be tracked in the three-dimensional world just as it always is. Time in the fourth dimension doesn't exist, so it will not be tracked at all. But let's say, for example, you set a stopwatch and you want to astral project for 3 minutes. You will astral project for what we consider to be 3 minutes in the three-dimensional world. But in the astral world, it may seem completely different. It may seem like much longer or much shorter. You start to realize that time is simply a psychological experience. At the end of those 3 minutes, if your stopwatch has an alarm and you put it right near your head and you're very tuned into it, even in the astral world, tuned into the sensations that will come from your physical body and the perception that your physical body will have of sound, you will be alerted at the end of the 3 minutes, and you will be able to go back into your physical body. 3 minutes will have passed in the physical world. But no time has passed in the astral world because time doesn't exist. And realistically, no time has passed in the physical world because it doesn't exist. But we like to track time. So we'll just say that 3 minutes will have passed in the physical world. Next question. If someone is dying and in an altered state as a result, can I communicate with them astrally? And I wrote back and asked for clarification on this question, and what they actually mean is when someone is passing away, their physical body is dying. But keep in mind, their soul, their astral body, will continue to live. It is eternal. But when the person is dying, they're sometimes not really coherent. This can be due to the medication they're receiving or the fact that they are crossing over slowly into the afterlife, where the silver cord is severed, because remember, the only time the silver cord is severed is when you die, when your physical body dies, which, of course, will not happen as a result of astral projection, but we all eventually die. Our physical bodies die, and our souls continue to live. So what they meant was, when someone is going through this process of their physical body dying, and they're not completely with it, they're not completely alert and aware and so forth, they're in an altered state, either due to medication or simply due to the dying process, can someone communicate with them astrally? And the answer is yes. Now keep in mind that if you are under medication, that is going to affect your consciousness, meaning that if you're drunk, your astral self is going to be drunk as well. That doesn't mean that there'll be alcohol in your astral body, but that does mean that your consciousness will be affected. You will be drunk in the astral world. So if you are on medication, you will be medicated in the astral world, and that will continue until the point of death, until the point at which the silver cord is no longer connected from the physical body to the astral body, because while it is connected, it's relaying all of that information. Whether the body is drunk or medicated or what have you, that information is being relayed to the astral body and affecting the consciousness while you're in the astral body. affecting the consciousness of the person's astral body, of the patient's astral body in this case. So you can communicate with them, but it will not necessarily be enhanced. And as I looked more deeply into this question with the person asking it by going back and forth with email, I found out that what she actually wanted to know was, since her grandfather was dying and incoherent due to medication and the dying process, she wanted to know if she could communicate with him clearly, astral body to astral body. And the answer was, unfortunately, no, because until he crossed over, his astral body was still affected by the medication, the lack of energy, and so forth, of the physical body. Now, immediately, when the physical body ceases to live, the astral body is no longer connected to it, and then in that instant, the astral body becomes completely coherent. So if you have a relative who has been suffering with mental deterioration due to organic causes, or due to being on medication, or due to any sort of illness, this immediately ends when their physical body is no longer alive. But unfortunately, during the time that the physical body is alive, there is still the lack of coherence that you will notice in the physical body. So whereas you can communicate with them astrally, it's really not going to gain you much advantage. Next question. This is a question from a pregnant mother. If I astral project into my own womb with my baby, meaning the womb that is within her body with a growing baby inside it, if my baby has fears, can I eliminate them by recreating a vision of my child's environment? In other words, this lady is pregnant with a child. She wants to go inside her own body astrally and inside the consciousness of the baby, of her baby inside her physical body, and alter the perception that the baby is having of the baby's environment. She feels that her baby has fears. She wants to put her baby at ease. This is a wonderful question from a wonderful mother. I can tell that she's very concerned about her child's perceptions of the world, even before her child is born. What a beautiful and wonderful sentiment. However, at the moment that a soul enters a human body, the soul takes on the consciousness of that body. So in other words, this baby's soul has entered the baby's body. And this happens at the point of conception, by the way, in case you're wondering. A lot of debate out there as to when a person becomes a person. Well, the point of conception, the soul enters the body. The baby's soul enters the baby's body. Up until that moment, that soul had actually greater cognitive abilities. You see, what happens when you pass away, when your physical body dies, is that your soul returns to the astral world until it chooses its next assignment, its next life it's going to live, or until it ascends to a higher plane. During that time, your soul is very cognitively aware. You could maintain a very interesting, intelligent conversation with that person's soul at that time. However, as soon as the soul enters another body, enters a baby's body, for example, or in fact, enters a baby's body that's so young that it's only a few cells, instantly that soul loses conscious cognitive ability and becomes a baby. So right before that soul enters a body, it has the knowledge of the lives it's lived and can talk about them in the astral world in a very intelligent way. A moment later, when that soul enters the body of that forming child, the consciousness of that person takes on the cognitive ability of the forming child, which is almost non-existent. Over time, cognitive ability develops. The baby is born and grows up, becomes more and more cognitively aware. So realize that although you can astrally project and go into your own womb, if you happen to be a pregnant mother, and communicate with the baby in that womb, you are communicating with someone who is unable to cognitively understand what it is you're saying. The baby at that state relates to its environment in a very simple way, mostly through feelings, physical feelings and emotional feelings. So you can offer comfort in terms of psychically sending positive feelings to the baby, but in terms of going in there and having a conversation and saying everything's going to be okay, that would not be something that you would do. Now, specifically, this lady's question had to do with recreating a vision of her child's environment. She wanted to go inside her womb and recreate the vision of the environment. That is also not within the realm of something that you would do. recreating the vision of the environment, because that requires you to take charge of the experiences of another being. And although you are providing a safe place for that baby to develop inside the womb, you are still not responsible for the way that that being perceives the world. Now, parents are responsible to a degree. They show their children certain things and have them avoid certain negative things. So there is a degree of responsibility. But in terms of getting inside of the soul of that person and causing them to perceive the world in a certain way, that is not what we as humans do. The perceptions that people have of the world are their own personal perceptions. Altering them in any way is not something that we should be involved in. The way in which we can affect the perception of a person's environment is to talk with them when they're old enough to have a conversation, to expose them to certain positive, powerful, wonderful things, to shelter them to some degree, at least early on, from extreme negativity, and to nurture them and have an ongoing dialogue with them as they develop. So the best way to approach this is to look at it from a different point of view, which is to send positive vibrations to the child and to surround the child with protective white light. This is a wonderful practice, sending positive vibrations and surrounding the child and protecting the child psychically. What a wonderful question from a wonderful parent. Next question. I'm concerned about black holes. Are very powerful gravitational forces in the universe able to affect my astral travel experience? What a great question. Because in our physical three-dimensional universe, a black hole has such a tremendous amount of gravitational pull that it can actually affect time and bend light. If something can affect time and bend light, it's very powerful. And in our three-dimensional world, black holes are extremely powerful. And if we were to get too close to one, they would be extremely dangerous. However, in the fourth dimension, you can pass right through a black hole without any concern whatsoever. Because no matter how powerful a three-dimensional object is, even a black hole, it's still limited to the third dimension. While you're in the fourth dimension, the astral world, you can pass right through it. It will not be solid to you, nor will it affect you gravitationally. Next question. What if I'm astral projecting with someone who has done astral creation and their reality starts to override mine? Well, you don't have to worry about this. Think of it this way. If you are in a workshop where everyone's creating clay figures, and someone creates so many clay figures that they've surrounded themselves with clay figures, they've created a clay house, they've created clay furniture, they've created clay pottery, and so forth, and they've built that all around them. And some of those pieces are even around you. And you've built your own clay pieces, and they're around you also. And someone else has created clay pieces, and they're scattered around as well. You've got a lot of clay pieces now, scattered everywhere. A lot of clutter going on. So let's go back to the question. What if I'm astral projecting, and someone who has done astral creation and created their reality starts to override mine? In other words, the reality that that person has created starts to override your reality. Well, realize this isn't going to happen. All that you've got, even in the worst case scenario, is just a bunch of things in the astral world. Just a bunch of things that are created out of astral matter. Now, if you have a neighbor in your three-dimensional world who is also very active in astral projection, and they're starting to expand a little bit and encroach upon your area. In other words, you're building your astral house, and they're building theirs, and the walls are starting to overlap, and they're expanding more and more into your area. Then you need to have a discussion with them, either in your physical body or in your astral body. Now keep this in mind. Some people create astrally in their sleep, and they're not even aware of it. So if you were to approach that neighbor in their physical body and say, please stop creating these astral walls and so forth in my area, they might look at you and say, what are you talking about? Because they might not realize they're doing it in their sleep. But if they're consciously doing it, and you know they're consciously doing it, and they know they're consciously doing it, then you can talk to them in their physical body. However, you always have the option to talk to their astral body. Even if they're not aware of doing it, you can still talk to their astral body and ask them to stop. But there's really no risk of their reality overriding your reality. You will clearly see what they have created and what you have created. In the worst case scenario, you will simply have a clutter challenge. Too many things in one place. Next question. How can I install filters so I only see certain types of people? What an interesting question. Sometimes in our three-dimensional lives, we wish we could do this as well. We wish we could see only honest people, or only happy people, or only people who like us. However, the astral world has its realities, just like the physical world, and one of them is, what's out there is what's out there. So, installing filters in the astral world is really not a practical concept. What is practical is to put out thoughts about what you want to see. If you think about this, the law of attraction guarantees that we will get back whatever we put out, whatever we focus on, whatever we focus our thoughts on, we're going to get back. In our three-dimensional world, if we focus on honesty and telling the truth and so forth, we see a lot of honest people. If we focus on negativity, we see a lot of negative people. We get what we put out there. Same thing in the astral world, except even more powerfully, since everything's driven by thought. So, if you want to see a certain type of person in the astral world, focus on the attributes of that person. If you want to see honest people, focus on honesty. If you want to see fun people, focus on fun. If you want to see intellectual people, focus on intellectual endeavors. So, rather than installing a filter, all you need to do is realize the filter is already within you. What you think about is what you get. Great question. All right, next question. Can I astral project while meditating without leaving my physical body? Yes, I love doing this. If you think about it, astral projection just means that your kundalini has risen to the point where you can separate your astral body from your physical body. It doesn't mean you have to. And the way to test whether you're there or not is to separate it for a moment and then put it right back in. Separate your astral body from your physical body and then put your astral body back in your physical body. And then you can meditate as long as you want. The advantage of this, rather than regular meditation, is that you can use your astral vision. You can see all around. You are also open to the entire astral world, so you can perceive the entire astral universe. This takes you out of your three-dimensional existence and puts you into the fourth dimension, which I find to be so much more relaxing. When I'm meditating, I'm focusing on metaphysical concepts. I'm focusing on spiritual ideas. So I prefer to be in my astral body in the astral world. Even if my astral and physical bodies are still synchronized, meaning they're still perfectly lined up, I know that my astral body has enough energy to separate, and I also know that I'm perceiving the astral world. So that's a wonderful way to meditate. Next question. I'm concerned that the astral past life regression projections will manifest into present day reality. This prevents me from staying in the past life regression. Okay, this takes us back to our discussion about astral past life regression. Remember, in astral past life regression, your body shapeshifts into the way your body was in the past life, usually including the clothes. You can step out of your astral body by duplicating your astral body to get a look at this to see how you looked, what gender you were, what you wore, and so forth. And you will also notice projections, manifestations of objects and people the way they were in the past, except you will see them in the present moment when you do an astral past life regression projection. So the person who wrote this question is concerned that these projections, meaning the things and the people that they see from the past life, will manifest into their present day reality, that these people and things will become part of their everyday three-dimensional life. And this stops them from staying in the past life regression, this fear that they're bringing something back with them. Well, remember what I said, you're not bringing back anything with you. There's no concern whatsoever. You're not opening a door to anything from the past coming back. You're just tapping into the Akashic record of what happened. The Akashic record is actually a compilation of infinite Akashic records, chronicling everything that's ever happened and ever will happen. So when you do your astral past life regression, that's what you're tapping into, the Akashic records. Now, just like when you read a history book, when you read it, it doesn't make those characters real in present day life. It just means that you are reading about them. That's similar to an astral past life regression projection. Even though you see Benjamin Franklin or any other historical figure you might come into contact with in your astral past life regression, it doesn't mean that they are presently real. That is a manifestation from the past made possible by you glimpsing the Akashic records. This is one way to get into the Akashic records. So, you're seeing something from the past that has no way of moving into the future and certainly has no way of moving into your three-dimensional life. So, let go of all concern. That also goes for challenges that you faced in the past. If you're concerned that you'll reopen challenges that you had in the past, you're not going to. Unless, of course, you decide that you're going to deal with the karma in which case you know from this program how to deal with that. Next question. Does astral projection drain daily energy? Will I have less energy during the day if I astral project in the morning, for example? No. It's not going to drain the daily energy that you need to power your three-dimensional physical body. In fact, it's going to invigorate your physical body. Raising your kundalini invigorates your astral body and your physical body. So there's actually no loss. In fact, there's a gain. Next question. Can I sleep in the astral world? Well, absolutely. Many times we'll astral project in our sleep anyway. But let's say you're astral projecting somewhere far away. Remember, distance doesn't matter in the astral world. So when I say far away, I mean in three-dimensional terms. Let's say you start out in the United States and you astral project to France. And you decide while in France that you'd like to go to sleep. What actually happens? Well, you go to sleep. Your astral body will continue to have astral journeys just as it would if you entered a regular sleep. And you will wake up in the morning just as you would any other morning. So yes, you can sleep in the astral world, and everything will be okay. Your astral body will continue to have journeys, but they will probably be assimilated in your mind as dreams. So this concludes the questions that I have. And if you have any questions, feel free to send them to me. I'm always interested in helping people along their astral journeys. With that in mind, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have outstanding astral journeys.